You can be turning in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter number 55 this morning. Psalms and chapter number 55. When I get there, I want to show you another birthday present Brother Hall got. Now, little Rick Vincent made that for me. I said he got tired of seeing me carrying that old cane around from the VA, so he made me a good-looking cane I can carry. Amen. And help me out a little bit and stabilize me, and I appreciate that. I'll hang out right there in case I need it, not to walk with, but in case I need to wrap some of y'all on the head and wake you up this morning. Amen. And so, but you don't think I'd do that, do you? Who was that over there said that? My own granddaughter. God help her. All right, Psalm 55, let's begin reading in verse number 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away to be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then could I have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. But him, then would I have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in God's company, of God in company. Let death seize upon them and let them go quickly into hell. Now I won't stop right there. I'm not preaching on that at all. But that verse of scripture, most liberals today and most Armenians would call into question. We're not supposed to talk that way according to proper spiritual etiquette, religious etiquette. But David said, let death seize upon them and let them go down quickly into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath not put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the privilege to be here today. We thank you, Lord, for this text. Thank you, Lord, for the hour to preach it in, for the people to hear. Now, I pray that you'll lay it to our hearts tonight, this morning, and help us, Lord, to lay it there ourselves and be prepared within our own soul to give understanding to it, regards to it, and obedience to it. Bless us, I pray, as we glean truth from David and his understanding ways. Thank you, Lord, for dying for us, for giving your life a ransom for our sin. Bless me now as I preach. I need power. I need physical strength. I need your ability and help and grace. I pray you'll save sinners. I pray you'll help the sick. Bless every home that is under the sound of my voice today. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I really want to begin preaching this morning out of verse number 16 and preach down somewhat in that. Where David made the statement there, he said, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. As for me," he said, "I will call upon the Lord, and the Lord shall save me." Now, I want to preach this morning on this thought of David's unfailing confidence. You know, I've read a lot about David. He's one of my favorite characters in the Bible, if not the favorite. And I've read a great deal about him and the Psalms that he wrote and the life that he led in 1 and 2 Samuel and in other places as well. And one thing that I found about him in his life is that he had an unfailing confidence in the Lord. Certainly there were times that David failed. He wasn't above that. Neither are you and neither am I. There's none of us that is above failing the Lord. David did. But he was yet a man after God's own heart. And I found that even when David failed, he always seemed to arise above the situation and overcome and continue to live a victory in his Christian life. And I think we need that kind of confidence in the Lord today. I'm afraid that in this hour, we're somewhat wobbling on the axle. As Brother Steve mentioned, I think, in Sunday school, do we really trust in the Lord the way we say we do? Do we really believe what we say we believe? Do we really believe about the Bible and believe the Bible the way that we claim that we do? And if I believe if we did, we'd live it. I learned a long time ago that people will basically live out what they personally believe in their life. And one thing that I'm satisfied that we need today is a greater confidence in God. We treat God as though he is some old gray-haired man sitting in a rocking chair just passing out candy to children. But God is far more than that. He's the God of the universe. He's our great creator. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And he's everything in between as well. And if we're saved and belong to him, then we certainly need to understand that God can do all things. He can. He's able to do all things. But it also is going to depend upon our confidence, our faith in him. You know, faith and works go hand in hand. Now, we're not saved by works, but I'm here to tell you, like Brother Steve pointed out in Sunday school, Nicodemus did come to the Lord. The Lord came to this earth. But Nicodemus did have to go to the Lord. And I don't believe any man is going to sit on his backside and ever get saved with the grace of God. There's going to be a time in your life when God dips the pen of His love into your soul, and you in your own initiative from your heart begin to seek after God. Now, I've said this a lot of times. If a seeking God and a seeking sinner begin to work together, eventually they're going to run into one another. They're going to find one another. And in doing that, I think that it ought to give us a greater confidence in our God than what we have today in accomplishing things in our life, accomplishing things for us. And may I say, even during the most difficult hour of our life, God is yet able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you and I may ever ask or think of Him. And I think we have a perfect illustration of that here in David's life. Now, I'm not going to recap it all, but I want to give you some sort of a recap on chapter number 55. But I want you to remember, first of all, that the psalm, in its occasion, is dealing with the rebellion of Absalom and then the treason of Ahithophel, who was David's chief counselor. Absalom rebelled against his own father, and David's counselor fell in with that conspiracy and turned against David. That's who David is referring to in these verses, is Ahithophel. And being an old familiar friend that went down to the house of God with him in company to worship the Lord. And yet it was that own familiar friend that in the end stabbed him in the back. But yet David continued to follow the Lord with great confidence that God was able yet even to deliver him. The Bible, he said, there were many against me. And I want to tell you, God doesn't take anybody, it doesn't need anybody else but God to conquer our plural enemies. It doesn't matter how many of them they are. God's able to conquer them. Because God be God, and there is none else. And it doesn't matter how many enemies David had, and what occasion they had against him, God was not only able to deliver, but in the end, He did deliver David in the end. And it was because David continued to have that great overwhelming confidence in the ability of God to do what He says He'll do. Now, Brother Steve mentioned this in Sunday school, and I'm going to tell you I've made it a hobby horse lately, but I want to ride that hobby horse one more time. God will do what He says He will do in this Bible. And we need to believe that. In the finality, we will come to realize that God is no liar. But in Him is all truth. And if, hey, God will perform the vows that He's made toward you and I in this book. And may I say, God will also perform the vows that He's made against sinners and ungodly men in this book as well. When David made that statement, when he said, "Let them go down quickly into hell," he meant exactly what he was saying. And there will come a day, ladies and gentlemen, when those that have rejected the grace of God and refused to believe the gospel, they will go quickly down into hell. You can just mark that down. Somebody said, "Are you happy about that?" Not at all. I don't think God is happy about that. It is just a biblical fact that all Christ rejecters are going to spend eternity in hell. Now, I don't like that. I like to see everybody get saved. Everybody that calls on the Lord can be saved. But the problem is they love their sin more than they love God, and they're not coming to the light that He gives because they know that their deeds are evil and they don't want anybody to know that they're a sinner. Hey, they don't need you trying to hide the fact that you're a sinner. Everybody knows you're a sinner to start with. God knows you're a sinner. Hey, We're all sinners. That's exactly right. Every one of us are sinners, but I'm glad that I'm a sinner saved by the grace of Almighty God. Bless His wonderful name. Now, David's confidence in the Lord regards his salvation as including support and preservation during trials and dangers. Do you believe that? That God's able in His salvation to preserve us through trials and through dangers. I mean, the songwriter, when he said, through many dangers, toils and snares have I come, he meant exactly that. But he said, safely have I made it this far. And he said, safely I'm going to make it home. I'm wondering this morning if we've got enough confidence in God. I'm going to put it this way, enough faith in God to believe that God has the power, the ability, amen, to get you and I all the way into heaven's glory. I believe He has. In fact, I know He has. In fact, I know He's going to. In fact, I know I'm going there by the grace of God. And if you're saved, you're going there as well. But I think sometimes we wobble on the axle and stumble in the weeds a little bit to realize that God is able to do what He says to do. How much confidence do we really have in what God says He'll do? Hey, let's lay heaven aside. Do we believe that God's able to deliver us in this life that we're living now? That's where the rubber meets the road, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, if we don't have faith that He's going to deliver us in this life, surely there's not enough faith in our heart to believe that God's going to take us to heaven. I don't believe there is. Hey, come on now. If we got enough confidence to believe that God will save us, then we ought to have enough confidence to believe that God will lead us through the trials and the dangers of this life that we're in. And He'll do that. Now, we can guard against the injuries of an open, suspected enemy. Anybody can do that. I mean, if you see now, when I stand down there in the dark last night, I didn't know what was lurking out in those shadows. When we went out to get that buck last night, and us men were all walking along, and all at once something sounded like a thousand jet airplanes taking off, I like to turn my inside out in my skin. Know what it was? Wasn't nothing but turkey up in a tree that we scared a bunch of them. But I'm going to tell you what, you get in them dark places, there's a little more fear than what you think they are. Now I'm going to tell you, you get down in them woods standing there by yourself, and all there is you and that dead deer land. You're looking around. Where's everybody at? You can't even see a light or nobody else. And you're wondering what's lurking just outside the glare of this little bitty flashlight I got. It'll make some thoughts run through your mind. Now, I'm telling you, as a child of God, ladies and gentlemen, there's no difference. As we stand there in the light, hey, we cannot see any farther than what that light is shining. Hey, and on the outside of that light, there is some dangers out there. There's some enemy out there that we cannot see. If we can see them, we're all right. But if we can't see them, oh, I'm telling you, it'll bring a fear to heart. Same thing in the Christian life. David said if it had been an enemy that I could see, that I suspected, it'd been one thing. But there's not much guard. We can't guard much against a secret and a treacherous foe. And so was that man Ahithophel, and so was Absalom, by the way. We regard whom we regard and trust as a friend often turns out to be a foe. Notice what he said in verse number 11. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then would I have been hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. David said, if it had been, hey, if If I'd have known who the man was, it's what he said in the earlier verses. He said, I could have been like a dove and just fly away to yonder place. I could have hid myself in the wilderness. But he said, hey, it was not, my enemy wasn't somebody that I really thought was an enemy. I thought they were a friend to me, but it turned out, rather than being a friend, they turned out to be a foe. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We better be careful in the hour we're living in. A lot of folks will put their arm around you and tell you how much they hate, love you. But if they're not careful, they'll be like Joab. They'll have that dagger ready to put in your fifth rib, buddy, telling you all the time how much they love you. But even during that dangerous time, when that closest, hey, that man that was closest to him was his counselor. The closest man he had to him was his enemy. David said, I'm still going to trust in the Lord. Amen. Is anybody listening now? Now listen carefully. Their only purpose in this was to bring David down. The only reason behind that was so they could rise to greater distinction and power. They wanted what he had. A man that hath friends, the Bible said, must show himself friendly, yet confide not too fully in any human friend. For even the truest may fail us in life's great needs, and they will.
Amen.
They will. That's right. They'll fail us in life's great needs for lack of power to aid us. God alone is supremely trustworthy. He cannot fail either in faithfulness or in power. I won't say amen to that. I won't repeat that. God cannot fail us in faithfulness or in power. Oh, His faithfulness is renewed every morning toward us. And He's got the power to not only defend us, but to defeat those that would come against us. Amen. I'm not talking about necessarily people. I'm talking about those things that come upon us daily. Those things like sin. Those things like self, like our flesh that we wrestle every day. Like the society that we're living in out there. About the world around us. Amen. About the devil that's around us. I'm talking about our real enemies.
Amen.
Come on now. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, first of all, I want to mention the evidence of David's confidence. Look at verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me. I want to say, first of all, that David had a personal faith.
Amen.
The evidence of that confidence was he had a personal faith. See, folks, we're saved on a personal basis. Everybody in here has got to have a personal faith with Christ. And by the way, you've got to have a personal relationship with Him. Thank God for the privilege to come to church and to sing songs together and to fellowship together and hear preaching and teaching together and have fellowships out in the fellowship hall together. But I'm telling you, the bottom line of it is that every saved individual must have a personal relationship with Christ. And hey, and that faith that you have is your own personal faith. It's not my faith. By the way, you're not getting to heaven on my faith or mommy's faith or daddy's faith. You're going on your own faith or you're not going. It's a personal thing. He had a personal faith. That's right. The psalmist would not endeavor any kind of new plots against his adversaries by counter plots, but in direct opposition to their godless behavior, he would simply resort to God. And I'm going to tell you, that's what we're going to have to do. You know what we try to do? We start running into problems. And we want to resort to self and try to counterplot the plot against us. I'm going to tell you, you can't do it. Just let God handle it. Somebody said, well, I'll take a financial problem. Well, I'm going to handle this all by myself. You better talk to God and let God handle it. This ain't much of an illustration, but I'll use it. We were out in Missouri, Miss Hallbaugh, she knows I love coffee. In the mornings, we drank her coffee together. She bought her a bigger cup and a saucer so I wouldn't spill her coffee all over the floor. So I started spilling mine all over the floor. Well, it didn't start, I always have. And that Smith & Wesson cup. And so she got me at a yard sale out there a big cup that says Java something or other. Java crazy or Java nut or something other. I like coffee if he hits the point. And I pulled up out here the other day. Somebody was driving. And I opened my door, and I don't know how it got out that back door. But, I mean, we just got it. And I just had it 2 days. And it rolled out the back of my truck on the parking lot and broke. Miss Hall got up yesterday morning. I didn't know anything about it. She got up and prayed and asked God, said, Lord, let me find him another cup big like that one. I got home last night and sitting right by my coffee pot was a avocado green tall coffee cup. Just exactly, not exactly like it, but big like it, made like it, just like the one that I broke. And she said, honey, where'd this come from? She said, the first yard sale I stopped at, God had it waiting there on me. Now, hey, somebody said, well, Brother Hall, that ain't much of an illustration. It might not be much to you, friend, but I'm telling you, hey, if we'll pray and let God, she didn't say we'll get mad and upset and try to do stuff. She just prayed and trusted God. You know what? God took her to the coffee cup. Somebody said, you really mean God does things like that? Friend, I believe, hey, God's in charge of everything in our life, whether it be a little thing or a big thing. I believe he even cares what kind of a coffee cup we drink out of. Amen. That's right. Bless his wonderful name. Now, what about that faith? Faith, that personal faith, that the Lord will provide safety in times of danger. David said there, the Lord shall save me. Now, do you believe that? That he'll provide safety in times of danger? And I'm going to try to hurry. I don't want to keep you too long. But I want to say three or four things. I want to say, he's our refuge. He's our refuge to run to. When the troubles come, when dangers come, he is our refuge to run to. There is a covert beneath his wings. Amen. There is a place in that rock that he's standing on. Amen. That we can run to. There is a city of refuge that we can run to. God is our refuge in trouble. And God, hey, we don't have to run to somebody else. We don't have to, hey, always run to the banker. Or we don't always have to run to the neighbor or run to a friend. I'm going to tell you what most people do. When they have a problem, they want to run to their friend and tell their friend all about it. And you know what your friend does? Tell somebody else all about it. But I'm going to tell you something. If you run to the Lord, it don't matter what it is in your life, you'll never have to worry about him telling anybody else about it. He'll just take care of it for you. Now, he is our refuge, and I'm going to tell you, nobody getting through him. Amen. Devil ain't going to get through him.
Right.
He's a refuge to run to.
Right.
You will find safety and shelter under the covert of his wings. May I say, he's our rock that is higher than I.
Yes.
Oh, when I'm overwhelmed, Lord, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. And there are times that I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what, I come home last night, went there to take a shower, bent over to take my long johns off, and I thought somebody had stabbed me in the back. I couldn't pick my leg up. I kept trying to pick it up. My back hurts. I couldn't pick it up. I said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get my clothes off. I'm going to tell you, there, we're going to run into times like that. But you know what? There's a rock that is higher than I am. Thank God, hey. There may be a pain there, but I'm going to tell you something. He's got some pain medication, friend. Far, far better than Lortab.
Amen.
Come on in the house. Hey, I'm just simply saying that the Lord, hey, when our heart is overwhelmed, even when we have problems in our family or a death of a loved one or a family member or sickness, or a long, drawn-out illness, and there's problems going on, I'm telling you that he is a rock that is higher than what you and I are, and he is the one to run to. Hey, Lord, when I'm overwhelmed, when I can't go any further, when I've taken the last step, Lord, hey, then you lead me to that rock that is higher than what I am, and he will. I want to say thirdly. He's our raiment when we're spiritually naked.
Amen.
You better be. You get a hold of it. He's our raiment when we're spiritually naked.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't have any spiritual raiment at all. I was like blind Bartimaeus in rags. But I'm going to tell you, when I heard that Jesus was passing by like he did at Jericho, old Bartimaeus heard that he was passing by, and when the Lord called, he made haste. You know what he did? He threw aside his old tattered garments. I'm going to tell you, the Lord robed him just like that prodigal son in a spiritual robe of righteousness, ladies and gentlemen. I had no righteousness. You had no righteousness. But God clothed us. God clothed us in raiment of righteousness when we got saved by the grace of Almighty God. Amen. I want to say fourthly. He's our ransom when we fail to pay our debt. Now you'll catch that by slow freight. I can see how lively some of you are. We all owed a debt we couldn't pay. You couldn't pick us up by the heels and shake enough money out of us to pay our sin debt. You couldn't shake enough righteousness out of us to pay our sin debt. But I'm glad, hey, when there was a debt to be paid, He paid the ransom. And bless your heart, He paid it in full. I'm not an Armenian, bless your heart. When I got saved by the grace of God, I got saved. What the Lord doeth, He doeth forever. Amen. When I got in, I got in. When I got behind the veil, I got in. Hallelujah. When I got to Calvary, I got in. When I got to the door, I got in. When I got to the ark, I got in. What are you saying, Brother Hart? I'm just saying that He paid the debt. When I was standing on that auction block and was being sold to the highest bidder and sin had me bound, the Lord said, I'll buy him.
Amen.
Every one of you in here that's saved have been paid for.
Yep.
You need to stop. You've been paid for.
Yep.
We're not our own. We belong to Him. He paid for us. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I've got a few things over at my house I paid for. I ain't about to, just unless God tells me to give them away, you understand what I'm saying? But they're mine. I can do with them whatever I want to do with them because I bought them. They don't belong to nobody else. You've got things at your house that you bought. And I'm going to tell you something. God's got some things in His house He bought.
Yes.
Amen. And He bought them. With the blood of His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the debt that we could not pay. He didn't owe it, but He paid it for you and I. That we might be saved. Now I want to say fifthly, and finally on this point, He's our reconciliation to God. That's right, I couldn't get to God. There was a barrier, a wall between us. He tore down that wall. Amen. As one preacher said, Jesus on the cross reached up to heaven with one hand, grabbed a hold of God, and down to earth with the other hand, grabbed a hold of fallen man, and reconciled them.
Amen.
If you please, He is our intercessor.
Amen.
If you please, He is our mediator between us and God.
Amen.
And there's only one, His name is not Pope.
That's right. Amen.
King Louis the 22nd, or whatever His name is.
Amen.
Our mediator's name is Jesus.
Yep.
Thank God. Hey, He stands today, hey, between us and God. He is just not just our mediator in that sense, but He's our advocate. If we sin, we go to Him. He's our advocate, ladies and gentlemen. He's our mediator. He is our reconciler who reconciles us back to God. Now I want to say number two. We ought to have faith that the Lord will succor him when he is weak. Look what verse number 16 said. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me.
Amen.
Amen. It was not, hey, it was not, I'll just forget that. I'll just read what I can read over here. I'm like Brother Steve, can't read my own writing this morning. But David, there come a time in David's life when he had grown old and he went out to battle. And there was a man there by the name of Ishi-Benob that I think was a son of the giants. And he was about to slay David. But David had a friend named Abishai. But the Bible said that Abishai succored David and killed the giant. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, praise God, we've got one that when we're weak, oh, and I like this, because I'm getting there. You're looking at one that ain't 25 years old anymore. I'm a man that's getting weak. Oh, but thank God, I've got a sucker, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know what that means. That simply means a helper. And when you can't help yourself, he'll help you. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's a friend. Abishai was David's friend. Abishai was David's warrior companion. I'm telling you, when David got weary and weak and old and went out to battle and could no longer do battle, there was one that stepped in and done the battle for him. I'm telling you, hey, we got one that'll fight the fight for us, ladies and gentlemen. Praise God, we don't have to fight this battle alone. In fact, we're not fighting alone. If you're fighting alone, you are in trouble. Thank God. Amen. I'm glad we got one that'll put on his spiritual boxing gloves. Praise God. Amen. That's right. Punch the devil out every time. Amen. Do something. He knows. Brother Chuck back there knows a lot of moves, but he don't know the moves Jesus knows. Amen. That's right, buddy. He can handle any of them.
Amen.
Doesn't make any difference to him. That's right. Now, old David got somewhat feeble. But I'm glad that he had a friend that stayed with him in the battle. Abishai never left him in the battle. And by the way, we ought not to leave one another in the battle either. I don't remember what Brother Gray and I was talking about the other day. But I said, Brother Joel, a man be a fool to bite off the hand that feeds him.
Amen.
I was raised with that thought.
Amen.
Now you'll catch that after a while.
Amen.
If you got a friend, my friend, you'd be a fool to bite his hand off.
Amen.
You got somebody that's genuinely dear to your heart, that I help you in trouble, brother, you better hang on to him and not bite off that hand that feeds you if he's your friend.
Amen.
That's right. Now, Dave, I'm not even going to what this says, but number three, we ought to have faith that the Lord will always calm the storm. Verse number 18 says, He hath delivered my soul in peace. In peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many without. He had delivered my soul. He had delivered in peace from the battle that was against me. The Lord will always calm the storm. Like He did His disciples out on the sea. All He's got to do is say, wind, be still. Get this now. When He said, wind be still, the waves laid down also. You notice He didn't say nothing about the waves. He commanded the wind. The wind was what was causing the waves to dash against that little ship. All He commanded was the wind, ladies and gentlemen. He went to the root of the problem. Aren't you glad that we have got a Lord today that loves us, that doesn't just pick around the edges. He goes right to the root of our problem and solves it for us immediately.
Yes.
Amen. We ought to have enough faith in Him that He can calm the storm in our life. There's no need of living in a turmoil. I'll be honest, I've been in a turmoil to some degree. I'm concerned about my health. I just come in last night and I went to take my clothes off, couldn't even get my clothes off. And I said to myself, Lord, how much longer? And I didn't say anything about it, but my back has been killing me for 2 months now. And I said, Lord, how much longer can I do this? Somebody said, well, you don't act like it's hurting you. Relief is just a swallow away. You know that? And that's not really good. Because the doctor, you know what the doctor told me? You take pain pills when you're in pain, then you don't know you got the pain, and you'll go right on doing just like you always do, and you'll hurt yourself more. So we need to be careful with that. You think I want to live like that? I'm concerned about that. I'm starting to wobble on the axle a little bit. That's why a little Ricky in this cane. And if I have to preach with this cane, I will.
Amen.
That's right. I'm not a bit ashamed of it. I have learned that I'm an old man. And old men get feeble. And when you want to turn me out to pasture, all you got to do is let me know. Hey, and I'll find another grazing field, but I ain't going out to pasture. I'll find another barn to feed in. Hey, man! That's right. Praise God. Thank God. God's able, folks. That's right, to calm the storm. You think I ain't been in a storm? Lord, what am I going to do? What would I do if I got so sick that I had to leave? What would I do if I got so sick the church said we're sick? You'll catch that after a while. What would I do if you got so tired of me, you said, hey, I'm sick of that crippled old man. What would I do? I've been in somewhat of a turmoil, but I'm telling you, hey, I have learned that whatsoever state I'm in, that there I'm going to be content. Because the Lord is in control of my life. Now I'm telling you, who is able to calm every storm that comes my way. I don't care how big it is or how little it is. He's able to calm the storm. And He is in your life also if you let it.
Amen.
Hey, God. I didn't even know it had been carrying that old stick around. Back here, wherever, in there somewhere. I showed this morning, Brother Steve said, let me ask something. Said, you going to carry that around and beat it against everything like you do that black one? I said, no, I ain't that baby fool. That's too pretty. That back there, I walk into the store, I'll just bump it up against the counter. Somebody said, what if they say something? Ah, they ain't going to say nothing. Sympathy stick. No. Now, I don't go into regular stores. Now, if I'm in a gun store or something, with some people I know, I play around or hear something. But do you think I ain't gonna beat this one? Too nice. Now, I want you to listen carefully. I'm about done. Hey. There's faith that the Lord will overcome our enemies. Proverbs 24:10 said this, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. But I'm telling you, we ought to have enough confidence in the Lord that in the day of our adversity, we're not going to faint. Now I'm going to tell you, if you're leaning on Him, you won't faint. You know what that doctor told my wife? That doctor down there was talking about how low my blood pressure was. Miss Hall said, I'm afraid any time he preaches and carries on, that it's just going to hit him and he's going to be gone. Doctor said, you don't have to worry about that. She said, why not? Said, he's used to it by now. Said, his body's built up a resistance to getting a little by little. Said, his blood pressure would have to get very low before he'd go away. Ain't that what the man said, huh? He said, it'd have to get pretty low for that man is going anywhere. Hey, I got an enemy. But I'm going to tell you, I'm learning how to conquer it. There was a time when I wouldn't dare have this. There was a time when I wouldn't dare have that. But I've got to a point, hey, where the enemies called old age and disease have crept in. But I've got news for old age and disease. Thank God that Jesus got somebody smart enough to make a cane. And He got somebody intelligent enough to make a stool. And He's got a crowd of people. I won't say this. He's got a crowd of people that'll even listen to me. What more can a man ask for? Amen. Now, there's prayer in trouble. Verse 17, I'm just going to mention these. Verse number 17, Charles Spurgeon said, prayer is the bell of the heart that rings loudest in heaven. And it is. Charles Spurgeon said, have a pleading heart, and God will have a plenteous hand. I heard a preacher one time say, if you got to beg for God to do things you don't have any faith, I don't believe that for a minute. I believe what Spurgeon said, you have a pleading heart, God will have a hand that's bountiful. He'll pass out the blessings. Do we really plead with Him? If we're not, hear me well. I know we're running slow, but you better hear me well. If we do not have a pleading heart, I'm going to tell you what we're doing. We're depending on self to get the job done. But it'll never get done. Oh, we may plug along and think everything's all right, but boy, one of these days when God brings this thing down to the end, we're going to find out differently. He started His day with prayer. He said in verse 17, in the morning. He started His day with prayer. He said in morning and at noon. He made time to pray at noon as well. And He closed the day in prayer. David was a man of prayer. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to make it by. We're going to have to learn to pray. Then, hey, Charles Spurgeon said, day and night he saw his enemies busy. Therefore, he would meet their continuous activity by prayer. Now, I'm going to tell you, we got problems, troubles, heartaches, trials, tribulations, whatever it might be. Meet them in prayer. That your conqueror is prayer. And finally, the end of his confidence in verse number 22. He was sustained by the Lord and his life was stabilized. All because he had confidence. He had confidence in the Lord. I wonder this morning, do we really have confidence in God? Or are we trying to take care of things our way? Let God have His way. I guarantee you, if you just yield. And somebody said, preacher, that's so hard to do. Well, no. Now, it would be if I was driving. I start to say, it is like getting in an automobile and laying back and going to sleep. But if I'm driving, you couldn't do that. If you got the right person on the wheel, you just lay back and go to sleep. That's the kind of confidence you got in the driver. That's the kind of confidence we ought to have in the Lord. Hey, don't worry about the problems. Don't worry about the poverty. Don't worry about the economy. Don't worry about the war. Don't worry about the president. Don't worry about what's going on the earth. We better be concerned about what's going on in heaven. Now, I guarantee you, He'll take care of things. All you got to do is just lay back and go to sleep. He'll take care of things. Let's stand together.